Power Man Ronetta.
Ryan the Hitman Harris. It's the end of 2020. And we'll do our last show on New Year's Eve. It's the end of 2020.
What's up?
What's up, man? My man, my friend, my dog. How are ya?
What's up, dog? What's up, dog?
New Year's Eve.
That's right, man.
This is how we should do all of our podcasts. 10 How's in that? The morning, sunshine in your home. I can see the background looks beautiful. I'm down here in the old man cave. I got the still got the Christmas lights on. I got the Cubby's hat on. Just enjoying
is
the last day.
Is that a Cubby's hat or a Bear's hat?
That's a Cubby's hat. That's, see how it says Champs on the side of it there?
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't have one of those if it were a Bear's hat unless you dusted it off from 40 years ago.
Well, you know what? I cannot wait until this Sunday because we're going to blow right through these Green Bay Packers and Chris Myers is going to be crying like a little bitch.
It's one of those games where I wish neither team could win, you know, because I have equal level of hate and detest for both teams.
Well, I wouldn't think you'd hate the Bears as much as you'd hate the Packers.
No, I do, because there's equal amounts of annoying fandom on both sides. Like you mentioned, the Packers fans are utterly obnoxious, Myers in particular. But then on the other side, I've got you, I've got Porter, I've got Farrell. You know, you guys are just fucking obnoxious.
We got a lot of friends from Chicago is what you're saying.
Yeah, that are obnoxious about
They're
it.
They're loyal to our team, just the way you're loyal to your shitty team down there in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah, and just really obnoxious about it. Did I say that already?
Yeah.
Did I cover that?
Yeah, I think we've covered this.
But, you know, your man Trubisky's on fire. I mean, they're saying it's the most potent offense all of a sudden in the NFL, but we'll see if that holds up. It'll be interesting on Sunday.
I mean, this is the test, right? I mean, we got, you know, Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Famer here, coming to Chicago. So, I mean, let's just, you know, let's talk brass tacks here, my friend. When Aaron Rodgers turns it on, there's not much any team out there can do. No one can stop this fucking dude. So, I mean, hopefully, I mean, we play in similar weather. We both have outdoor stadiums. The weather should not be a factor for either team. But, I mean, if our defense can show up and just pressure this guy, Mitch has to show up too. So we have to have the perfect storm, basically, I think. But we can do it. We can beat these fucking Packers. So if we do it, we're in the playoffs. If we don't, we need a little help. So...
Is it at Soldier?
What's that?
Is it at Soldier?
It's at Soldier Field.
Wow. Wow.
The frozen tundra.
The frozen tundra.
Of Chicago.
Rumbling, bumbling, stumbling.
Stumbling in the frozen tundra.
Hey, man, while we're on the topic of football, I have to bring something forward that's a little uncomfortable for us to talk about, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember... This Monday, we didn't dig in on Monday Night Football, but do you remember who the matchup was by chance?
Nope.
Okay. Well, one of the teams was the Patriots from New England.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Cam Newton and the boys versus the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. So that's what I wanted to bring up. You just said Cam. You remember several weeks ago. You referred to him as Cameron,
this
right?
This is a couple months ago. Yeah.
Okay.
And you
whatever.
Got ticked off, and I think have you and Cameron spoken since then?
Well, here's the thing: have you referred to him, to your knowledge, since that conversation, since that reprimand? Have you referred to him as Cameron since then?
I have
publicly?
Not. I have not.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. The only time I do it is when I'm down here in the studio, and you and I start like mixing it up a little bit, then it just comes out.
Okay.
But for me, the rest of the world, he's Cam. Why? What's going on? You got some breaking news here?
You know, when there's smoke, there's fire, right? And we got a cease and desist letter from Cam.
Oh, Jesus Christ. See, I knew this was going to come.
Right.
Last day of the fucking year, too.
Right? And it basically said, put two guys in one podcast on notice that, you know, they're aware that you referred to him as Cameron, that he absolutely hates Cameron, and... Mm-hmm. This is causing us problems, Ron. I got the legal team on it, obviously, but listen, man, I thought we talked about this.
Yeah. You got the legal team of grabbing my snatch, working on this thing full time, 24 hours a day?
Yeah, they're working around the clock, man. And I think, you know, The only thing I could suggest, and this isn't just me, this is legal counsel, you need to personally apologize and maybe go to his house. You know, maybe you could do like a, I don't know, a singing telegram or something, or write Cam real big in the snow outside of his house.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to leave that up to you. This is your mess to unpack, but I'm just letting you know it's become a serious issue. So.
I think, you know, at this point, the best thing to do is probably write a handwritten letter, fold it up, like you said, go over to his house, and then knock on his door, and as fast as I can, just shove the letter right in his face, just so he can see how serious I'm about this thing, how sorry I really am. Just run right up to him and throw him the letter right to his face, and hopefully...
And then run off?
Yeah. And then just run away.
You know what? I'll ask legal counsel about that particular exercise, but I think that's right. My instinct is that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Instincts don't lie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So listen, man, I know we've got a lot of ground to cover today, our last episode of the year. If I may, I'd like to kick it off here with a little bit of a somber news bit and a little bit of a tribute. A dear friend of mine from back in the day from Waco, Texas, Waco, you know, where I grew up, where I was born and raised. Mike Rosenbaum, Ro as we call him. His father passed away unexpectedly, Stuart Rosenbaum. Just wanted to give a shout out to Ro, as we called him, as I said. Let him know we're thinking about him. This guy, Stuart Rosenbaum, 77 years old. Unbelievable guy, Ron. I mean, this guy got his degree from Harvard Divinity School and decided that he actually had more of an interest in philosophy and dedicated his entire life to the field of philosophy. He basically birthed the entire PhD program at Baylor, was the head of philosophy for many years, accomplished author, wrote multiple books, and just the most amazing guy. And so it was really sad news for me to hear about, and my heart and thoughts go out to Ro and his family. But it reminded me of a really interesting and funny story that I'd like to share. So my man Ro was an avid collector of baseball cards, to the extent that he had amassed over the course of his youth a collection that was valued in the thousands and thousands of dollars. And way back when, in 1989, there was a particular baseball card that came out. Billy Ripken, in his 1989 Fleer edition, decided he was going to pull a prank on baseball card collectors and fans and Fleer. And he wrote "fuckface" on the bottom of his bat right before the photos were taken. And immediately, Fleer caught on to this, but they had already published and printed and distributed a quantity of the cards. So when Ro found out about this, I was over at his house, me, Ro, and my buddy Mitch, and he's rifling through his cards as fast as he possibly can to see if he had one of these rare cards. And I remember he found the card, and he starts yelling at the top of his lungs, "I got a fuck face! I got a fuck face!" And so his dad, Stuart, runs into the room. He's like, "Michael, what is wrong with you?" He's like, "Dad, I got a fuck face! I got a fuck face!" And that particular card, I looked it up before the show, it's now valued at over $1,000. So anyway, man, just a shout out to Ro and to his dad, Stuart, and I'll close with a quote that's famous from Stuart: "Breathe deep and seek peace." And that's what I'll end this on, and just say, thinking of you, Ro, thinking of you, Stuart. You know, rest peacefully, my man.
Yeah, rest in peace. Yeah, that's a great way, I think, to look at the entire year we just went through, huh?
No doubt, no doubt, definitely fitting. So, anyway, on from there to I guess some other news, and I know we exchanged a text about this. It's fitting that here we are at the end of the year, a shitty year by all accounts. What better way to crescendo a shitty year than evidence that the Cubs have packed it in, right? The Yu Darvish trade signals the end of this effort with this current roster of talent, and would love your take on this, but I think we would all agree as Cubs fans that this crop of young talent, still relatively young talent, you know, Rizzo, Contreras, Bryant, Baez, Schwarber, other than the World Series, which we're grateful for eternally, woefully underperformed over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. And I think this is the beginning of the end, right? Theo Epstein leaves. We trade Darvish, who was basically a Cy Young pitcher last year, a shutdown pitcher with just over a 2.0 ERA for the year. And I think we're going to see now, it's a salary dump, and we're going to start rebuilding, and it's really depressing because this team had so much potential, they just could never get on track.
It's definitely a move for a rebuild. You see, we got also got rid of Victor Caratini in that trade to the Padres. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you hate to see stuff like this happening, but I mean, you know, it's been, now it's going to be 5 years, 2021, since the World Series. And, you know, you touched on a good point. We still got some all-stars on our team, right? We're still going to pack the seats. We're still going to sell out games. I think our time of being a terrible team is behind us now. That's in the rearview mirror. So even though we might not be World Series contender, you know, as we go through this rebuild, we're still going to have a really good season, I feel. I think, you know, we got Ross now coming into his second season. We'll see what happens with Schwarber. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a Cub, you know, come spring. But, you know, I think it's nicer to see that the team has progressed. We've gotten better over the years than go the other way, because a lot of teams have done that. So we sat around with a losing team for years and years and years. At least now we have a team that's fun to watch, that's still having a good time out there, giving up some wins. I'm looking forward to it, though, man. I tell you, I think maybe it's just, this could be the Corona talking or the COVID-19, whatever the fuck. But I mean, I miss baseball. I miss spring training. I miss going to a game. So I'm just positive about a baseball season starting here, and we'll see where we are come spring, come summer. Hopefully we get out to a game or two.
No doubt about that. I agree. I want to take a quick exercise just off the top of your head. I'm going to go through that roster of five, the core five, and just off the top of your head, tell me trade, keep, or indifferent, okay?
All right.
Contreras.
Oh, keep Contreras. Love him. Love him. Love him. Great arm.
Yeah.
Favorite move from Contreras is the bust down to first base. Love
it. Yeah, that is great.
Please keep Contreras.
That is great. No doubt. Okay, Rizzo.
Oh, Rizzo. You got to keep Rizzo.
Love Rizzo.
Rizzo's number one. And Rizzo is Mr. fucking Cub right now.
He is.
You got to keep. Rizzo is a lifer. Please retire Rizzo as a Cub.
He's a quintessential Cub, and he's the leader in that group, I think. That's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chris Bryant, thoughts?
Love Chris Bryant, love KB, fits into the city super well. I kind of get the feeling that he doesn't want to be here, or maybe he's, if anyone was to leave, I kind of feel like he might be looking for other options. What do you think about that?
I think that might be true, and the other thing I'll say about KB is I love him too, but the guy can't stay healthy, and that's just unfortunate for him. But listen, the last 2 years, he's probably missed a total of 50, 60 games.
Yeah.
You know, the guy just... he can't stay healthy, and when he's healthy, he's fantastic. But, you know, in terms of as we rebuild this team, that may be a guy that absolutely should be on the trading block because of that fact, and because we'll probably still get a lot of trade value out of him because his bat is so lethal when he's actually healthy and in the lineup.
Very, very true. Very true about that.
All right, let's talk about Jave.
Jave is the most fun player probably to watch in all of baseball, I feel, right now.
Absolutely agree.
Couldn't get the bat to roll this past season, you know, but I mean, God, the guy is a golden glove. I mean, just watching him do his thing out there, you cannot let Jave go. I mean, I'll tell you what, of the three I said, I'll let you ask for number five, but Jave and Rizzo are the most important two of this team, I feel, for me. What about you?
I agree wholeheartedly on Jave. I mean, look, year before last, he was a couple votes away from getting an MVP when Ilitch ended up edging him out. But defensively, the guy is unbelievable. Perennial golden glover. He struggled with the bat this year, no doubt. But just defensively, the guy's unbelievable, and his base running is unbelievable. Some of the things he does on the base paths are unbelievable and so exciting to watch. I think the guy is absolutely, in my opinion, the most valuable of this five group set.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
That's my Schwarzenegger.
Hey. He is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
No, that wasn't very good.
I don't know. I can't do Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
I can't do it.
Okay, last but not least, or maybe least, depending on your point of view, Schwarbs.
Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, the Schwarber.
Hey, of all the Cubs, who's your favorite? Mine's Kyle Schwarber. I like him because he's like the king of the Cubs. No, I don't know. I think Schwarbs is going to be gone. I think he's going to be DH'ing somewhere. You know, come on. It's not the best.
That's where he belongs,
not the best,
man.
Outfielder. I mean, you know, he's a catcher first and foremost, but we kind of got that area covered. Although with getting rid of Caratini, who knows? But I mean, the guy is an incredible hitter. Let him go do his thing. I think he's gone. So of those three that I'm keeping, I got number one, Rizzo. Rizzo Javi's tied for number one. And then you got Contreras at number three. So what about you?
I think Schwarbs, to me, is the most dispensable of the group. I mean, the guy strikes out just way too much. And like you said, where he belongs is in Yankee Stadium hitting bombs. Right. You know, as a DH, he'll probably go and hit in the American League, you know, 40 home runs and have a great career elsewhere. But he's just not a good fit for the Cubs. One, the Cubs really need somebody who's a utility bat guy, someone who can come in and just get on base. And that's not Schwarber. Schwarber fans a lot. And that's not what we need. And his defense is very mediocre. And if you remember, at the end of last year, Rossi actually sat him for lack of effort in the outfield. So he's probably gone. And I know we didn't tender him a new contract, so the writing's pretty much on the wall there. So I think we're aligned here. I mean, I think Rizzo and Bias, yes. Bryant, maybe. Contreras, I didn't comment on Contreras. I love Contreras. Yeah. I think he's awesome. He's amazing defensively, and when he gets his bat going, he's pretty lethal too. He had a streak middle of the season last year where he was really coming alive. But, you know, I think what we're going to see is we're going to be dumping a lot of salaries as we try to rebuild this team from the ground up. And on the whole, this group has not performed. So in a way, it'll be interesting and refreshing to see some new blood in there. I also think it's maybe easier for, to some extent, for Rossi, because it's got to be hard to coach guys that you played with. So to bring in some new young talent that he has a fresh start with, I think that'll be good for Rossi. I'm a big Rossi fan, and I think he'll get us pointed in the right direction eventually, but it's going to be a lot of new faces on the field this year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, the guy garners so much respect, too, though, in that clubhouse. I mean, he was already a veteran when the guys that he's playing with, that he's managing now, were his teammates. So I think everyone was kind of looking up to him already. But it is hard, right, to make that transition from basically coworker to manager, which is what he's doing. You know what? And on as we're talking about baseball, you know, for me, when I'm at the ballpark, nothing sets it off like a good old-fashioned American hot dog when I'm watching
the
game.
Yeah.
So in the spirit of NYE, I've opened up the phone lines here. Which I know is a surprise to you, but
this is the first time ever.
Yeah. So I have a question coming in here, and the first question we have here is a hot dog a sandwich?
Ooh. Before I answer, did you say you opened up the phone lines, but you got to, someone texted you the question or what?
On my cell phone.
Okay. Well, that is a really deep question coming from our listening audience out there.
Yeah.
Is the hot dog a sandwich? Okay. You want to take that one?
Highly debatable. Is the hot dog a sandwich? I am going to come out and just say no. And first of all, I'm not going to assume the reason why someone would think it's a sandwich. My first assumption would be, like I said, I'm not going to assume, but fuck that. It's because it's a piece of meat between a bun, right? But for me, a sandwich comes from either sliced bread. Or like, I don't know. I'm going to contradict myself.
So I can rebut your point.
I don't think a sausage in a bun is a sandwich. I think because the sausage is already in a tube, and it's already been formed and shaped. So a sandwich to me is like when you slice some nice meat or you get some roast beef in there, a little au jus on the side, PBJ slathered between two pieces of bread. That's a sandwich. A hot dog for me is something completely different in its own class. What do you think?
Well, first of all, we need to tread carefully here because this is a very alienating, polarizing subject, I'm sure. We're probably, depending on how we navigate these waters, going to alienate a big portion of our audience because I know this is hotly contested. But that being said, I'm going to take a more empirical approach to the question based on your response, which is, you said one of the dequalifying factors is that it's a sandwich is sliced bread. So by way of saying that, are you saying if the bun were sliced in half?
See, that's the thing. I think I contradict myself. I didn't get enough time to gather my thoughts about this. What I was thinking was more like a loaf. But then I'm like, no, because a French roll sliced down the middle filled with Italian beef and then dipped in a hot boiling pot of jus. Is that a sandwich? I'd be like, yeah, that is a sandwich. But what the fuck is that?
So basically, by the way of that fact, it's the meat in between the bread that dequalifies it, meaning because it's a hot dog.
I think because it's been shaped in some cases stuffed into a casing. If you're talking about a bratwurst, hot dog bratwurst, you know, Italian sausage, I don't think that's a sandwich. I'm just gonna say no.
Okay, I'm gonna say yes, but not referred to as such. Like if we were to go to Wrigley next spring and up on the board at Wrigley, they said instead of hot dog, it said hot dog sandwich. Would you be disinclined to order one?
Well, I would immediately think, okay, they've probably taken a couple hot dogs and sliced them in half and spread them out. And listen, I've done this before. You get a little saute going, get a little extra caramelization on that meat, and then maybe put it on a hamburger bun or something like that. That's a hot dog sandwich.
Okay, so what if you go and order, like, a sausage sandwich at, like, I don't know. Give me the name of a place up there where you might go to order such thing. Where would you go to get a beef sandwich?
Johnny's.
Portillo's.
Let's say Portillo's.
Okay, so you can order a sausage sandwich at Portillo's, no?
Well, I think they look at you a little funny. They're like, what? Hey, give me a sausage sandwich there, guy. Go. You want a what?
All right, well, I think we're a little bit divided on this really polarizing issue. I'm going to say, like I said, it's a sandwich, but it's not normally characterized as such. But I think it meets the qualifications for a sandwich. It's got bread. It's got meat inside.
Yeah.
I'm going with the sandwich. I just don't call
it. You're saying, yeah. Okay, very good. All right. Well, I've got many questions coming through here. We're not going to have time for all these, but here's one more. How many licks does it take Harris to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Pop?
I can venture a guess. It's been a while. But I'm going to just throw a number out there. 320.
320 licks.
Yeah.
That's a lot of licks, my friend. I'll tell you what. I love a good Tootsie Roll like anyone else. You know what I like even more? It's probably one of those blow pops with a gum in the middle of it.
Oh, that's fucking solid.
But I'll be damned if you're ever going to see me sitting there holding my hand just licking away at it. That's not my style. I'll just shove it in between my teeth and my gum.
You go right for the bite?
Well, no, then you're going to break your teeth off. I like to work it in my mouth a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Get it.
God.
You got to get the outside all wet first, okay? That's rule number one.
This is turning into a terrible description.
Hey, we're letting it. There's no holes barred here, 2020, New Year's Eve. So get it wet.
I just think I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
And then what I'll do, I like to do it like when I'm working on something around the house, you know, raking leaves or, you know, changing a bulb or, you know, clean up my dog's shit off the fucking sofa. I'll just put it in between my cheek and gum, you know. And then after a while, I'm gonna say probably within 11 minutes, then I'll go for the bite. And if I can feel if it's loosening up, I'll just go for it all the way. If it's not, I don't mess with it. I let it go. So,
all right,
licks, who knows? That's one for the ages, but I'm going to say about 11 minutes for me to enjoy a blow pop.
You remember the old Tootsie Roll commercials, though, the owl?
Mm-hmm.
Not owl, like A-L, O-O-W-L, the animal. It'll be 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Then you crunch into it. So by way of that commercial, it's 3 licks is all you need. But
consider the source. You're talking to an owl. And yeah. Owls are known to have extremely high crushing power with those beaks. They can snatch up a mouse in a matter of seconds, which actually, this was fun, guys. Thanks for the questions. But this brings me to a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news. Two guys, one podcast. Over to you, Rod.
Thank you, Brian. A little bit of breaking news here. I don't even know how to get into this. I'm just going to go right for it. It's come to my attention that over the last several days, we have had an uninvited guest in our home in the far back corner of our basement where it's kind of an unfinished area. Brian?
Homeless guy?
Brian, there seems to be a mouse in my house.
Ooh.
Now, don't panic.
Did it have one of those characteristic U-shaped doors, or did you find one of those little bitty beds made out of a matchbox, or one of those little tiny slumber hats that you see, you know, Jerry wear?
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't put it past this little fucker to build one of those houses and put like a little mailbox out front with the number to it. Because let me tell you something, I wouldn't be so upset because I'll tell you what, I get it. Okay, mice don't. You know, an infestation is one thing. If you're talking about one little guy running around the basement in the back corner, dude, it's freezing outside. It's cold. There's snow. These guys go somewhere. Okay, every house probably has a mouse. You just don't see it. And that's what I want. I don't want to fucking see it. I don't want to see any signs of it. I don't want to see him. I don't want him scaring me when I'm trying to do my thing, make a little podcast. He's running underneath my chair. Fuck that. Okay, so far.
Have you seen him?
No, we haven't seen him. So he's playing by those rules. The rules that he didn't play by. Let me tell you this little story, okay? Check this out. This motherfucking mouse. You know, we have our new dog, MJ, right?
Yep.
So she's still house training. She's almost there, but we put down these little puppy pads. So in the far back corner by my very back door in my basement, I have a puppy pad. That's for her because when we come down here to watch films or watch movies, she runs back there sometimes and she goes pee before we can catch her. But it's back there. And the other day, I came downstairs to do some laundry, and I went back just to check on the puppy pad to see if MJ had done anything, and she had not. But what I did find in the exact center, right in the fucking middle of this puppy pad, was the smallest, tiniest little piece of mouse poop you'd ever seen in your whole fucking life, okay? So the audacity of this little mouse to suddenly step out of bounds, not play by the rules, and take a shit on my dog's puppy pad. You know what he basically did? He fucking...
waged war?
He fucking TO'd me. He fucking Terrell Owens me, put that thing right in the center of the star. So guess what happened to Terrell Owens the second time he pulled that shit, okay?
Oh, you got leveled.
What I'm trying to say is it's fucking on, all right? I was going to let him. Like I said, hey, big deal. Let him be do his thing. As long as I don't see him, keep it in the back corner. I'm just going to let it be. Fuck that, dude. I'm calling Orkin. I'm getting poison. I'm getting mouse traps. This little fucking guy is going to be gone before sunrise now. I can't believe the balls on this guy.
Yeah, he's ballsy, that's for sure.
What I might do, I might paint a fake mouse hole on the wall with like a little red carpet. Yeah. And just when I start chasing him around, he's going to run right into it. And guess what? He's going to think he's safe at home. Uh-uh, pal. Boom.
These little stars above his
little
head.
Little payback. Little fucking Terrell Owens me, little motherfucker.
I'd love to see the first time you see the mouse. Would you think you'd shriek? Or you'd be like, hold it. Or be like, ee!
You know, I probably would. But when I come down here now, it's like I'm basically creeping. Like I got like my iPhone light on. I've got my scarf tightly wrapped around my mouth. I've got a little baseball bat, little league slugger bat. Well, this guy got he's history.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm kind of pulling for the little guy, but keep me posted.
Hey, man, I was too until he pulled this shit. You wanna drop one in the center of the cowboy star? Not cool, pal.
Oh, good shit. Well, keep us posted, man. Everyone will be on pins and needles seeing how that plays out. What do we got planned for New Year's, man? We're ringing in the New Year tonight. Thank God, 2020 can go fuck itself.
Go fuck itself, 2020. We keeping it very, very simple. Just small family. My wife's parents. Me and the kids. Her. Maybe a cousin or two, brother-in-law. That's
you
it, man.
You and the missus gonna ring in the new year?
Little.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, that hopefully will happen. It's completely, you know, that is a mutual decision. That's seldom mutual. I think in the spirit of the new year, though, you gotta say, let's ring it in with a bang, if you know what I mean. How about you guys? What's going on over there at the Harris household?
We're keeping it down the DL, brother.
Defensive line.
Excuse me,
dude. Don't hit that bong so hard this early.
Hey, it's almost noon. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah.
So no, nothing really planned, man. We're gonna ring in the new year. I don't know if you tend to tune in to Dick Clark's New Year's Eve extravaganza, even though Dick Clark's sadly no longer with us.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll be on in the background.
Yeah. I mean, you probably get some, you know.
Jesus.
God, that's really hit me.
Dude, you hit that Pineapple Express, bro.
Oh, woo.
Woo. That's that governor's new suit. What the hell? What's that strand called there?
Woo! It really got me. So that's about it, man. Nothing too exciting to report on that front. But I'll be glad to turn the page, as we all will. And we're actually going to do some things around the house to shake things up a little bit, usher out the bad vibes and omens from 2020. We're going to open the doors, let all the bad mojo out.
Let them out.
We're going to move the furniture around. We're going to change it up a little bit over here at the Harris House so that we can have a clean slate for 2021.
You know, you don't want to have
move the
when you open those doors, don't let these little fucking mice run in your house, because they will.
We'll be on high alert for that.
I think I'm going to put a star in the middle of my puppy pads from now on. And if this little fucker breaks the rules again, I mean, I'm telling you, he's fucking done.
I think you should. I'd like to see that.
What if I cut a hole in the floor right underneath the center of the pad, so when he goes over there to take a shit, he just falls right through the hole?
Well, I guess my question would be, how much does this mouse weigh? I mean, you know.
I mean, by the looks of his shit, probably not too much.
It would have to be that trap door theory, I don't think is going to play out for you.
You don't think so?
No, but I'd like to see you try.
Oh, we're going to try.
So, what else you got, man? Anything else we want to say as we close out the year?
I will say, this as difficult as 2020 was, I mean, you know, we lost some good people. I mean, it could have been worse, I'll tell you that. We think we made the most of it, kind of went into it surprised, unexpected, didn't really think we'd be this deep into a pandemic, right? End of the year. And we're still quarantining, we're still at home. But, I mean, for the most part, I'm thankful my family's healthy. My kids are healthy, wife's healthy, and, you know, 2021, I'm not going to, you know, we'll knock on wood here. I don't think it can be any worse, but hopefully it's the year we turn this shit around, man.
No doubt, man. This is one for the books, that's for sure. And, yeah, there's lots to be thankful for sure. You know, healthy, gainfully employed.
Mandalorian.
Two positive things. The Mandalorian, by the way. Epic end to that show. Did you watch the entire thing?
I watched the entire thing.
God, it was fucking good.
I mean, spoiler alert or no spoiler alert?
Let's just say the last episode, there is a appearance by a notable Jedi. Is that enough? We leave it there?
I find your lack of faith disturbed.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard my Yoda?
I have not.
Have you ever heard my Yoda?
Do you do Yoda?
Do you guys want podcast? It'll be Ronnie. Watch the show, you will.
Dude, I see a future guest on the show.
Tune in next year, we will.
Stay hey, Yoda.
You guys want podcast, you will.
Let me ask you something there, great guy. If you had a choice.
Ask away, you will.
If you had a choice of being the Jedi Master or being the fastest guy in the galaxy, which would you choose?
Choose I will not. Fates should decide.
Don't jerk me around here, Yoda. It's a simple question. Would you be a Jedi Master?
My lightsaber you shall meet.
That's a great Yoda.
Thank you. Yeah, I've been working on that behind the scenes.
BTS, behind the scenes. Well, tell you what, thank you to all these... guys, I guess I'll call them, for sending in their questions on the fly. That was fun. Thank you to you. I'm thankful that you and I got to do this once a week, you know, and let's keep it going strong. I'm sure we're going to have lots of more guests here coming in 2021. And I'm just looking forward to what the future will bring. Let's see.
No doubt, man. And, you know, hopefully we can get through these legal issues okay. I think be remiss not to give a shout out to all the little people behind the scenes that make this thing happen week in and week out. You know, those in the production facility, IT department, talent resource, and talent securing.
Yep.
What's the name of that position? Talent.
Yeah, talent. I don't know why you talk about talent security.
HR,
executive production,
marketing, social media, executive production team.
There's a lot of hats out there.
Listen, yeah, we love all you guys. I know there's been a lot of skerfuffle internally around, are we going to finally see a pay increase as we go into the new year? The answer is no.
No, no.
We're on a spending freeze at the moment, so yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
We are still hiring, but we're just not paying.
Yeah, we're just not paying exactly. Yeah, so that will continue. We'll continue to grow the department or the company, but with no salaries whatsoever.
Zero. Yep. We might even ask you to bring some money to the studio every now and then. You know, just go with it, man. This is an investment in your future, in everyone's future.
Yeah, I mean, listen, just be thankful that you're a part of this thing. And I don't want to hear any more complaints in the back office, by the way. Yeah, and those of you that are listening, I've had enough.
And no more faces when I eat your lunches.
Yeah, if you put it in the refrigerator, the kitchen, it's community property.
It's fair game.
Yep. Listen, man, much love to you and the fam.
Same.
Looking forward to seeing you on the other side of the calendar year, my man. And hope you ring in the new year with a bang, if you know what I'm saying.
I hear
you. And
I know what you're saying.
And we'll see you in 2021.
We will see ya.
Peace.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.